All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
Hello, and welcome to Double Tap, Audio Boom's official gaming podcast. I'm Alice Taplin, and this week I'm joined by Hashtag Radio's Fid McCawsome to celebrate the release of Street Fighter V, the fifth main instalment in Capcom's famous fighting game series.
Ryu, you'll never find the answer you're seeking if you just proceed blindly. Take some time. Stop and think on your path. Ponder where you've been and ultimately where your fist will lead you.
Ponder my fist?
If you keep loafing around like you are, Ryu will get ahead of you.
I understand that, Master. I'm gonna work harder and become much stronger.
I absolutely love Street Fighter as a series as a whole. I personally own Street Fighter 2 on an arcade machine which sits in my lounge back in New Zealand. So I've been addicted to the entire Street Fighter franchise for years. So the moment they announced Street Fighter 5, I was instantly, yes, this game's going to be amazing. So for the last 6 months or so, I've been playing it on and off during the beta. And my initial reactions, apart from the horrific issues they had with the servers crashing and just not being able to handle the load and all that, once you finally got in, the game was amazing. And this is from the get-go, like before the final version of the game came out. And it's only gotten better. I think it's better than Street Fighter 4. I think the mechanics are amazing. And like I said, love it.
So you'd say that it definitely appeals to big fans of Street Fighter then?
Oh, definitely. And for those big fans as well, I think they'll be excited to hear that Capcom have announced the new global competition for the professional league as well, which is going to be completely divided up regionally instead of just having one competition. So the best from each region of the world will then come together for a complete global competition, and they'll be given the Capcom trophy. So not only is the game going to appeal to existing fans, but for those super competitive players, there's an amazing global competition there for them now.
Are you going to enter it then?
I'm not at that level. Although when I was at the release party, this is sort of my claim that I've been telling people for the last week. Unbeaten for the entire thing. So every time I jumped on and played, didn't matter who I played, I was beating them.
Oh my god, well maybe you should enter them.
Well then finally somebody came over and goes, oh, I'll give you a game. Yeah, no, not a problem. And he beat me and he kicked my ass.
Oh.
So he whooped me and I was like, oh wow. I got talking to him straight afterwards and he actually works for Capcom.
Okay.
I will take that loss. I'm quite happy to acknowledge that. The person that finally beat me at the Street Fighter launch was a guy from Capcom.
Well, that's not too bad going.
I would appreciate a match. I wish to test my mettle against you.
Master.
But why? The internet said when you assume a fighting stance, he doesn't hesitate to fight back. Are you not feeling well?
Do you think it would appeal to people who are maybe new to the franchise and haven't really played it before?
If you're one of those few people that have never touched a Street Fighter game, I think you're going to still have fun. And that's the beauty about Street Fighter in general, I think, is it's not a game that you have to sort of sit there and invest a lot of time into just for the fun of it. It's a cool sort of game where you've got half an hour up your sleeve and you can jump on there and have a hell of a lot of fun, especially if it's two-player as well. Like, I always find it hilarious watching two people that don't play Street Fighter playing Street Fighter against each other, because they always have a lot of fun because of how awkward it is and how weird it is playing this game for the first time and stuff, and it is just a fun game.
Yeah, well, I have to admit that whenever I play fighting games, it's generally me just mashing the buttons and hoping for the best. So
the amount of times I've been beaten by somebody who is just mashing the buttons, though, and look, you start wanting to scream at them, you can't beat me at this. You're cheating.
Yeah, I do that a lot with Tekken. Just, you know, I mash the buttons until I find, like, a good move, and then I'll just repeatedly do that move.
See, I think that's the beauty about Tekken over Street Fighter, though. I think Tekken is not as complicated as Street Fighter, and it's not as complicated as, say, Mortal Kombat or whatever. As long as you know that most of the moves are done with two buttons, and you can play Tekken. Whereas Street Fighter style games, you know, are a lot more complicated, especially when you start getting to like the intense combos and stuff like that. And the new feature, of course, to Street Fighter V, which is the V gauge and the V trigger moves, and it's another set of buttons you've got to remember to use, and just makes the game more intense for those people who are playing at that professional level, or at least at a super competitive level at home.
That's how you start the fight and finish it quickly.
It's been really interesting to hear what they've done with the characters. So they've brought a few classics back that you cannot release a Street Fighter game without. But they've got four new characters that are completely brand new. So you got Carly, who's just a savage-looking beast with these massive dreadlocks. And I actually really enjoyed playing with him. Another new character, which is Rashid, which is a Islamic character, which I think it's really cool that they're sort of embracing these different cultures. And Street Fighter's done this for years, but they've never had a Middle Eastern character.
Wow.
So, you know, it's great to see the Middle East represented in Street Fighter as well. You've got Laura and a new mysterious character, which his name's Fang, but it's abbreviated as F-A-N-G. And I'll be honest, I haven't actually played as him yet, but he looks crazy and weird.
I am Rashid of the Turbulent Wind. Remember the name well.
Yeah, just sum up kind of Street Fighter V and why, what the best parts about it are and why people should play it.
Okay, so I think to sum it up, it's Street Fighter at a classic level where it's just a cool, fun game that it's always been. It's very familiar to anybody who grew up playing it, so even though they're three-dimensional characters, it's still played at very much a 2D sort of level where it's side-scrolling as it's always sort of been. I think they've added some amazing new elements in there, so new characters that are going to be coming out later, which are going to be Alex, Guile, Balrog, Ibuki, Juri, and Yurin. They're all going to be available to purchase. However, what they haven't done is they're not going to be charging real-world money for this, which is something really unique. You're going to be able to earn money called fight dollars or fight money as you play, and then when these new characters are come out, if you've got enough fight money that's earned up, you're going to be able to pay for the DLC with money you've earned in the game. So I think it's awesome. It's going to be a totally fun game. If you haven't played it already, give it a go because it's so reminiscent to the old Street Fighter series.
Master.
But this was helpful. I learned more about my skills, and I'll get to go home with a great story. Thank you. I'm glad I was able to fight with you.
Yeah, me too.
See ya!
And now it's time for this week's gaming news. Fallout 4 has won Game of the Year at the 19th Annual DICE Awards. The game beat Bloodborne, Ori and the Blind Forest, Rise of the Tomb Raider and The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt for the prize. Bethesda also managed to score Outstanding Achievement in Game Direction and Role-Playing Game of the Year for Fallout 4 and Mobile Game of the Year for Fallout Shelter. Assassin's Creed may not resume its yearly release cycle when it returns. Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot confirmed that they would not be releasing a new title in 2016, ending their 7-year streak, and said that the goal is not automatically to come back on annual cycle, but to come on a regular basis. We saw it was time to give it lots of time so developers could really work on the property and all the mechanics to make sure it would take the series to another level. The new Futurama mobile game is set to launch on February the 25th, according to an announcement made by Fox Digital Entertainment. The Match 4 puzzle game, titled Game of Drones, will be released on both iOS and Android as a free download on the same day, and players will embark on an intergalactic journey with the famous Planet Express crew. Now, here's Jamie with the sport.
rapper Lupe Fiasco beat the world's most famous Street Fighter player in an exhibition match. Fiasco scored a 3-2 victory over fighting game legend Umahara Dago at the main event of the Capcom Street Fighter V launch party. The match came after a long rivalry between the two, which started on Twitter when Fiasco's tweets about his Street Fighter skills caught the attention of the fighting game community. The former manager of Team Secret has claimed that players are waiting on payments from over 2 years ago. In a post on Twitlunger, Evany, whose full name is not actually used on social media, has alleged that winnings were not paid out from 5 tournaments that the team played in 2014. And according to data from Liquipedia, these earnings exceeded $240,000.
From Saturday Supercade in the 1980s to Pokemon in the 90s and finally to Bethesda's special promotion for the launch of Fallout 4 last year, animations and cartoons have always been closely linked with video games. But what does this say about the video game industry itself? And why is there such a demand for these extras? I spoke to designer and animator Matt Fryer to find out. So we know that video games have always kind of worked well with like multimedia extras, especially, you know, cartoons and animations and comics and stuff. Do you have any kind of like notable or favourite ones of those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, one of the most recent examples would be Fallout 4. It was released with a series of animations which correlated to the different aspects of the gameplay. I'm not sure if you've played Fallout, but the way you stat your character is via the special interface, which is sort of charisma, intelligence, all of that. And it not only tied into the famous image which Fallout has of the Vault Boy character, but in a new way, because they'd never done any animations like this before. But it also helped that it introduced new people to the game who didn't know what it was about. And immediately you get this image associated in your mind. Fallout 4 is this kind of Vault Boy character. So the multimedia stuff really, really helps with branding. But it also helps with sort of opening up to new markets and new audiences, if that makes sense.
Following total atomic annihilation, the rebuilding of this great nation of ours may fall to you. That's why we at Vault-Tec have prepared these educational materials for you to better understand the 7 defining attributes that make you special.
I think as well it kind of tends to help with like hyping up the game as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing nowadays, it's almost that the game takes not a back step to the marketing around it, but I think they're as important as each other, especially with big AAA games, because it's all about the marketing campaign. It's all about, oh mate, did you see that new COD trailer? Doesn't it look great? You know, the game might be rubbish. It probably is rubbish. You know, I hate COD, but I know people that play it and they swear by the fact that they love it. But when you talk about it, they don't talk about the games. They just talk about how many kill streaks they saw someone on YouTube do and stuff like that. So, you know, it's all about everything but the game when it comes to selling games, if that makes sense.
So do you think that maybe that kind of says something then about, because the video game industry is so massive that they kind of have to be competing on such a high level, maybe less so than, you know, other industries like films and TV shows and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's nice to bring it back to TV actually, because there's an interesting correlation. Sky, for example, I'm not hating here, but when Sky was released, for example, they decided they were going to have 24 hours a day television. You know, they were going to have 100, 200 channels that you could choose from for X amount a month. But when they did that, they realized they didn't have any content. So they started churning out all this content just to fill space. And I think the same sort of thing has happened with the video game industry. There's so much going on. There's so much being released that there is a lot of fluff. So to stand out from all of that gubbins that nobody really cares about, you've got to do something different. And you've got to do something that immediately sets you apart from everyone else that's coming on. I mean, for example, taking it back to animation, Steam is obviously probably one of the most famous platforms for releasing games. And there's a game coming out called Cuphead, which I'm really excited for. Basically, it's a completely hand-drawn, hand-animated arcade shooter kind of game. Imagine sort of Mickey Mouse in his early days, that kind of rubber hose animation, but it's all done by hand, and then it's all correlated and put together, composed on the computer, and it's basically just a series of boss fights. Now the marketing for all of this game, it's not out yet, so it hasn't had a lot, but all of it has focused around the fact that it's all hand-drawn, the fact that it's handcrafted. The gameplay is almost taken a step back. We all know what the gameplay is. It's an arcade kind of shooter beat-em-up style, you know, kind of like Street Fighter, but set with this visual style which harks back to Mickey Mouse, Disney animation, the Golden Age. And that is what's selling the game more than the gameplay itself. It doesn't matter that it's just an arcade shooter, you know. It's got this unique visual, this unique portrayal, so people can say, hey, do you know about Cuphead? Yeah, that sounds great. That's this. That's not 20 different versions of COD. This is one unique game, which it completely stands out from the rest.
I was going to say, do you think, because obviously we've said that there's this need to produce things like animations and all of these extras in order to market the game and to stand out, but do you think it can kind of work the other way and actually people, there's almost like a demand for these sorts of things? Like, you know, for example, when Pokemon came out and they had the anime, but they, you know, that was made from all, like, the card games and everything.
So Pokemon is a fantastic example, I think. It was basically one of the first games to try this social gaming kind of idea. First and foremost in the fact they released two versions of the game. People were saying it was just like a money grab, you know, you put different Pokemon in each one and you have to buy both, but that wasn't the point. The point was you're supposed to play with your friends and trade and bring in this kind of social idea before social gaming was a thing. And you're absolutely right with Pokemon. The reason it was so successful is because it was a simultaneous multi-platform release. They released the game, but they also had the trading cards. They also had the TV animation. And they also knew exactly how to market it to the kind of people they wanted to sell it to. Because standing on their own, that's fine. They'd sell X amount and it would do well. But when you bring all that together, people want to be able to engage with something on multiple formats and multiple platforms. I think that's the only way you're going to stand out, and that's the only way you're going to become a phenomenon rather than just another game on Steam that people buy when it's on sale.
Mm. And I guess now that, or, you know, in these days, considering kind of the history of people like Nintendo doing this sort of stuff with Pokemon, it's almost expected that you're not just going to get a game, you're going to get all of these extras as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, people are demanding basically more from their content. It's not just about the game. Like I said, you want to... Steam achievements, for example, there's no reason for Steam achievements to exist other than you can go to your profile and go, look, these are all the things I've done in my game, and all your mates can go, these are all the things you've done in your game. You've explored every quest in Fallout New Vegas, you know, you've killed 100 people in Killing Floor and things like that. You know, the only reason those sort of things exist is for the social aspect of it. And, you know, these animations and limited editions and marketing campaigns, it's all about that kind of social aspect of gaming. It's like you say, people, they supplied it, but now it's become a demand. It's flipped the other way. It is almost expected that that is what it comes to. I will travel across the land.
That's everything for this week. You can hear more of FID over on the hashtag ME channel. They have two gaming podcasts, Gamecast and Bits of Awesome, so check those out. You can also find all of Matt's animations and designs and all of his other work on his site, linkedtc1.co.uk. That's linkedtcone.co.uk. Join me next week for all the news and reviews about Far Cry Primal. See you next week.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production written and presented by Alice Taplin.